Father, here this day, we thank you for your presence.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you knowing that when you are here, Lord, anything and everything is possible. The miraculous, the signs, the wonders, Lord, Father God. I'm a living proof 25 years later, Lord, Father God, that you can change anybody. And it starts in your presence, in your grace, in your mercy. Through your word, Lord, I pray that you touch hearts and minds, not only of those that are here this day, but those viewing online, Lord. I pray that there be a divine touch from you here this day, Lord, upon every life present. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful Sunday morning, amen. I want to thank all y'all for being here this day. Those that are here for the first time, we welcome you. Those viewing online, we're grateful that you're online right now viewing, amen, from different states and here locally as well from Milwaukee. Thank you. Thank you. You may have your seats here this morning, worship team. You may have your seats as well. I'm excited, very excited and blessed to be able to share the gospel here this morning. As Brother Jason was doing the offering here this day, amen. Everything, the music today, the songs, the lyrics of the songs, the offering, everything ties into this morning's message. Amen. I love that, scriptures there that he read upon. And the revelation to that portion of scriptures there is that the leftovers they had at the end, the 12 baskets full, was greater than what they started with, which was 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. This is the God we serve, amen. The scraps that were left over were way beyond what that little boy brought to Jesus of the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Whatever you're bringing to the table here this day, good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be, God is able to multiply it in the 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is what I'm going to be preaching about here this day. We've finished a long series on the book of Nehemiah, and now we're into a new series. But today, the title of the message is End Time Blessings. End Time Blessings. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I preach the gospel. I preach the gospel and what changes men and women's and young adults' lives. And I want to speak about the end time blessings. And a lot of times when you hear about money or, it's fake, because I thought like that. I was doing many years in prison, and I remember at times the TV would be on in the prison cell or in the area that we would go there in the chapel, and you would see these big-time preachers with gold and all this stuff in there, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I was lost and bound, and they were talking about all these finances and stuff, I said, it's a gimmick. You ain't going to hustle me. Amen? Only the devil is allowed to hustle me 100%, but not the man of God, So I had a problem in the real beginning, but the first service coming out of prison, got out on a Saturday, was there Sunday morning. God spoke to me as clear as he's speaking through me right now. And I never had a problem about giving, because I knew that I gave 100% to the lies of the enemy. Just to be devastated, defeated, amen, in bondage. So I said, they're going to get me for 10%. I'm good with that. I can live with that. Amen. So, but I started doing it, and my life was instantly blessed. But I believe right now, and this ain't no gimmick, this is God, that there's an end time blessings that the Lord is wanting to pour out upon his people. Whether you've been in the ministry for many years, you just got on board, you just got saved, there's an end time blessing right now coming to the people of God. Him knowing the time and the age that we're living in right now, the times are getting more evil and more wicked. So the Lord's just not going to allow the enemy, you know, just to have his way across the board. The Lord always leaves that grand finale always to the end. The grand finale mind blower. Just as he did with his son at the cross when the enemy was parting and down with the homies in hell, celebrating the death of Jesus. Little did he know that the death of Jesus was his defeat. And there's sometimes we face things at face value. Amen. There's so much more going on behind the scene. Because the Father not only knew that his son would pay the price for you and I to be here this day, but he also knew that his son would be resurrected on the third day. So end time blessings I want to speak on today, amen. As I was praying this morning, getting the word together, there's a minister that always sends texts in Spanish to me. I thought I was the only one. There's more than me that he does it. You could just put your watch on him at 6 in the morning. The text comes through my phone every morning for the last couple of years. And it's always just a little quote in Spanish of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. But this is the picture that I got this morning. Amen. It's this one. It's a simple one. It's a man. The key thing on that man, he's got a walking stick, a cane, walking, you know. Amen. And then there's a young person. And each one have a time glass within their life. And it, in Spanish it says, el tiempo es precioso. No lo malgastes. The time is precious. Don't use it. Don't waste it. Time is precious. Don't waste it. And you might see an older person got a little bit of life left in him, a little bit of time left in him. Amen. And then you see this young person next to him with a time glass within his life on full. His whole life is before him. But when I saw the time glass, I believe everybody's seeing that picture right now that shows the other guy's up in age a little bit and he ain't got much time left. And it shows the young person with all their life before them. And that would be the natural perspective to get from that picture. But me being a pastor and always working between the lines and working with the person of the Holy Spirit, what I see is not the older gentleman. It's not so much got little time left. To me, that represents an older person with little to offer, little of Jesus to offer, little of what's important to offer, not only for his own life, but for the young person. So sometimes if we're not careful, we can go through 70, 80 years of life and have just a little bit of Jesus to offer somebody. When the time and age we're living in, there's going to need a lot of Jesus, a lot of proof in your life, in my life, for people to see us and say, I want some of that. I want some of that Jesus that he or she got within her life. Now, you may be viewing this online. And I want to let you know by the end of this service, no matter what your age may be, you can grow spiritually and have that time glass that's in that young person in your life. Of being up in age and having a lot of Jesus to offer the next generation, the young adults. It's one thing to be able to provide this and that or whatever for our children, but can you provide Jesus for them? Because at the end of the day, that's what's going to matter. Amen? How many want to offer a lot of Jesus? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen? Once again, the title of this morning's message is End Time Blessings. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. A few parables here. I'm just going to take on the first one. I haven't read a book lately. I'm starting to read a new book right now, and some of the points of today's message, but for a long time, I've just been preaching what the Lord gives me. And I just know we're in such a crucial, important season right now. You know, the run for hope, amen. Let's give us ourselves a good clap offering here this day, amen. Connie thought I was going to say, let's give Connie a clap offering here this morning. Let's give Connie a clap offering this morning. But none of those finances go to this church. We're really close to 10,000 now. I believe last year it was millions. With people like you and I, again, this ain't no gimmick. This is the real deal. No cut. It's the pure stuff, the good stuff. You see, when we come together, like Julie said, in that jar of them pennies added up to $500. The little boys, two fish and five loaves, you know, met the hunger that day of 5,000 men. I include the men and women and all that were there, even with leftovers. And some ministers don't touch in our ministry about United We Can because it dips into the pocket of the church. I don't do that. We push United We Can, even though a dollar don't get spent in this church. It gets sent to corporate office, and they send it all around the world. Last year, millions and millions were raised. You'll say, millions? They don't need my money. No, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong right there. But it was raised through people like you and I, nobody rich. But VO, Victor Outreach International, comes together, amen, and all of them do their part. And millions and billions, I think it was 5 million, came in last year through a people like you and I bringing in our two fish and five loaves. And too many times we look at what can the two fish and five loaves, you know, that's good for me. I got to eat today. And we never see what God is able to do with the little when it's placed in his hands. See, God don't need much here this morning from your life to do his best in your and through your life. And I'm going to be preaching about that here this day. And he just loves using messed up lives. He really loves using the messed up lives. Lives that need him. Lives that need miracles to take place in order for them to get from point A to point B. To be able to testify about the goodness and faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to to buy the field. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor. And we know you're coming to do the much and the little that we have to offer you here this day. So we by faith, Lord Father God, we stretch our hearts, our mentality here this day unto you, your word, Lord. And I pray that the man viewing, the woman viewing, that young adult and those present here this day, Lord, that their hope, that their faith be stirred. And what you're able to do in the little we have to offer. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Back in the days, amen, and the days of Jesus, even back in our days, amen, the days of Jesus, it was very common when people would work or whatever it was in finances, it was real common. There wasn't banks back there and the credit unions and all that stuff going on, amen? And it was very common for people to go out in the night and go hide their money, amen? And go hide their money. It was also common in the time of today where people hide money and then they go to be with the Lord. Amen. They die. And this money is hidden in a field. I mean, Grandpa, amen, shares stories of when he was working 60 years ago coming from Portugal, amen, in the dairy with the dairy cows, amen, milking cows, you know, many, many, many years ago, that he would make, I believe, a dollar a day. Amen. And he would milk cows, he said, from sun up to sundown. Amen. And he would live in a little cold area, cold water. And at night he would go out and the little money he made, he would hide it in the field. To become later on with no education, growing up and working hard and being an owner of 5 houses in California. You either got to be a dope dealer or a doctor to own a house in California. But Grandpa learned early how to hide his money in the field. I want to speak here this day very clearly of what the Lord wants to say to your life and my life. I want to speak real clearly here this morning on the blessings of God and what hinders the blessings of God in coming to your life. I'm not saying the blessings of a job. The blessings of God that come from God. 25 years ago, I discovered the gift of salvation. Or should I say, the treasure within my life. 25 years ago, I was a man going nowhere. I was in prison. And I would get out, and the next day I would go to church, and I would get saved. And something would take place in my life that was so powerful and great, and even though I couldn't put my finger on it, I knew it was the Lord moving in my heart, moving in my life. I didn't know scriptures. I didn't know anything. My life was all messed up. But I knew enough to know that it was God that was moving in my life that didn't deserve nothing. That didn't deserve nothing. 25 years ago, I discovered, as this man in the parable discovered this treasure that was hidden in a field, and when he found it, he hid it again, and he went and sold everything he had to purchase the land that had a treasure in it. See, that field was worth more than what that land was going for, because there was a treasure in it. There was a treasure in it. And the man knew that. So the man, I believe, hit the treasure better than it was hit in the first place. And this man, knowing that that field had a treasure, the Bible says that there was an excitement, there was a joy in his life, because he knew what that field possessed. It looked like all the other fields, amen, in that surrounding area. But in that field, this man knew that there was a hidden treasure that he once again had hidden. And he says, I'm going to go sell everything. I'm going to do everything I can to get the money to purchase that field. Knowing that that field came with a treasure in it. Not the lottery. I'm going to go purchase lotteries every day for the next. No, we don't believe in the lottery. We don't play that. Man, Pastor, I've been pretty successful at it. We don't do that. And when I got saved over 25 years ago, and that treasure got cracked open, just like the one there. As Jane, don't give me a treasure that's all open and all the sparks are coming out of it and there. You can see all the money in it. Give me a treasure look that just cracked open. That just cracked open. Something took place within my life, and something's going to take place here this morning in your life and those viewing online. And even though there was a great excitement in my new salvation, I put here in my notes, I had a big problem. Ask me what my problem was. Man, that's the best Julie's done since I've known her. I was like, Julie? Let's give Sister Julie a clap offering. She got a Run for Hope idea from the street corner. Boy, I don't think nobody's going to top that one. A panhandler gave her the revelation. See, the panhandler can never make you get to 500, though. He gets to $4 or $5, he gone. Get his drink on. Julie's little jar of change got to 500 and still growing. Why? There's purpose behind it. There's purpose behind those pennies. Even though there was a great excitement in my life, just as the man in this parable, as we go to the scripture, the Bible says, in his excitement, he hit it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. In his excitement. And even though there was a great excitement in my salvation when I got saved, even though I had a pack of smokes in my pocket, and even though I had just gotten out of prison the day before, in my excitement, I had a problem that this man that found that treasure in that field didn't have. And my problem was, I put a little list here together, it's much longer, but I didn't own anything. Didn't have a penny to my name. My mind, my life was all messed up. Nobody trusted me. I was on parole for the second time. See, I had a problem. I had a problem within my life. When Jesus entered and I answered the call, I had a problem. This man in the parable didn't have a problem. He had some stuff to sell that would add up to get enough money to buy the field that had the treasure in it. But when my salvation took place and my excitement took place, I had a problem. I was a full-blown heroin addict, just healthy now. Hadn't touched dope in all the years in prison. I had nothing to give to the Lord. Nothing. Nothing to give the Lord. But a messed up life. Today, 25 years later, People use me night and day as a character of reference or whatever they're called, amen, to vouch for them. Because today I can be trusted. Pastor, can I use your name? If that job calls you, or just life, I mean, tell the truth, but, you know, live you have to. And it's so funny, the people that ask me to co-sign for them and stuff put me in a hard place. The landlord calls, and, well, you know, when they were living with you, were they faithful and they're, you know, paying the rent? Whew, man, I was like, Lord, help me here, man. How's there? Oh, yeah. So, Pastor Reina, they were faithful? Yeah. And there were people that had burned me, righteously burned me. And they used me as a character reference to vouch for them that they're good. And then there's those that, Pastor, I'm trying to get a job. They might be calling you. Oh, okay. The employer calls and says, Junior here is, says he worked for you. And I'm like, Junior never worked for me, but go ahead. He says he worked for you from the year such and such to this year. And I'm like, is this true? And I'm like, oh my God. He was coming to church. He was in the rehab. He didn't work for me. I'm thinking out loud. Are they known to be loyal and faithful and hard workers? I'm like, oh my Lord. Yes. They're really, really good people. Mr. Reynolds, thank you for being honest with us today and being able to co-sign, you know, for Junior. And we just want to thank you for your time. And I'm like, man, I need to get saved all over again. I had a problem when I got saved. I was all messed up, and I believe there's some here that are all currently messed up right now. Things ain't going the way you would want them to be going. Some viewing online, or you know better, and you know you. And we use this. I may not be where I'm supposed to be, but I'm sure not where I used to be. Stop milking that line. You've been saved for 10 years. That's a cop-out. I may not be where I should be, but at least I ain't where I used to be. It's something that sounds smooth and real spiritual, but it's not. It's a cop-out. And then there's people that say, Pastor, I know I've been saved for 30 years. That's not good to say that if you're not walking with the Lord. And even though there was a great excitement in my new salvation, I had a big problem. I was all messed up. But there was an excitement taking place in my messed up life. So it was hard to match what Jesus was wanting to do in my messed up life. Why would he be stirring my messed up life when I don't deserve this? But the excitement within my life would not die. I had nothing to give to purchase the greatest treasure, Jesus, that was hidden in my life. Picture again of the treasure. I had nothing to give. The treasure now was cracked open in my life. I knew something was taking place that was from God. But the treasure was just where you could just kind of peek into it. You couldn't really see what was still in it. You would still have to guess. You know how you see movies and they kill 1,000 people, they're in the jungles and everything, and finally they get the treasure and they open it and a bunch of dust comes out of it. There was nothing in it. Those are the false promises of the world. But then you watch a movie where, what was the guy's name? Indiana Jones, where they always use this money time, gold and everything. I believe here this day that there's some treasures that are cracked open right now, but are still hidden within your lives. Is Jesus has cracked the treasure open, but he's still hidden in your life. This man that found this treasure hid the treasure to purchase the land, not only to get the treasure, but to open the treasure and what it had to offer. Wouldn't it have been dumb of the man to sell everything? I believe he paid even a higher price for the land. He goes, what price? Oh, okay, I'll pay it. Wouldn't it be dumb? This is how dumb sometimes it is in Christ for that man to have sold everything, purchased the land, and left the treasure there hidden. And that's what we do with the Lord Jesus. We get saved. It cracks open. Jesus is wanting to do something great in your life, in my life, but he remains hidden. So when Jesus remains hidden, when the treasure hatch is not open, it's not able to provide or give you what's in it. Jesus here this day is wanting to bless a man and a woman, a young adult, and he wants his wealth. He wants what he has to offer to be known and no longer hidden in your life. But too many times people get saved, and the greatest treasure of all treasures remains hidden in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a young adult's life, because they never do what they're expected to do for the treasure to be opened. I really believe that there's some here this day that are missing out on your blessings because you ain't doing what you should be doing to get the treasure opened up, to be able to be a recipient of the contents of the treasure, better known today as Jesus. I had nothing to give to purchase the greatest treasure, Jesus, that was hidden in my life. All I had to give Jesus was a messed up life that nobody wanted anything to do with. My everything, I'm going back 25 years, people. My everything, all I had was me to give Jesus. And that's really all Jesus wanted was me. But if he wanted me, he was going to have to get me filled of problems. He would have to get me that was in bondage, that was lost and bound. If he wanted me, he was going to get somebody that was really, really messed up, that no longer, not even mother and father, brother and sisters, could no longer trust or wanted anything to do with. You see, the suit might look good, but I never forget who I used to be. I never forget who I used to be until my treasure was cracked open on that Sunday morning. Jesus, if he wanted me, he was going to have to receive me and accept me all messed up. I believe there's some marriages right now on the rocks that's saying, if you don't change, I'm leaving you. I need to see something. I need to see something good. If you want me to be with you, you want me to hang out with you. But yet Jesus took me at my worst, along with you and I as well. He took us when we didn't have nothing, to purchase nothing. And when we were still powerless, ungodly sinners, the Bible says that he paid the price in full to purchase a people like you and I that amounted to nothing. Jesus, he didn't pay 10 cents for me. He paid the full price. He paid the full price for my life because he knew what he had created. He paid the full price for your life. Even when you were going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, Jesus says, no. Well, the devil says, hey, man, he's for sale. You know, it's 90% off today. Do you know the devil? I always say, he's the one that took me to church. I was so jacked up, so messed up. At the age of 25, 30, where I could barely walk in addiction and bondage, where not even the devil could use my life no more. I was messed up. Nobody trusted me. The devil brought me to church. I said, here, Jesus, if you can make something happen with that. But I was $10. I'll sell him for $10. Jesus said, no, I'll pay the price in full for him. What's his name, Charlie? Yeah. I'll pay the price in full for him. Because the Lord was able to see. He was able to see what he was going to do in and through my life. You see, if we could see everything that a person's going to come out to be or their value is going to be, we would say, I got her. I don't got her. If we could see everything and know everything about a person. That's why our walk is one of faith. But God don't walk by faith. He sees all, knows all. He knows what we think before we even think it. He knows what time it is. And knowing all that and being that sovereign and that smart, he still paid the full price for you and I. There's got to be a reason that somebody would pay the full price for a people like you and I. He paid a price like I had it all together. He paid a price that way. He was willing to give his life to pay this price. Not some certain amount of money, but his life. And too many times we don't act and move on the word of God because we can't see the outcome of it. We can't see the outcome of our life, but God can. God can see who you're going to be. God knows the anointing he's going to put on your life. God ain't tripping on your past. He's excited that you're here this day. He's excited that you're no longer going the wrong way. He's excited that you're hearing his word here this day. God is excited about your salvation here this day. He's excited. So he cracks the treasure open within your life and allows you to get a peek preview. When I was in prison, he told me I was going to be a pastor. He told me my mom and dad were going to love me again, that my brothers and sisters were going to come back. When I was hated, God gave me a glimpse of how he was going to use my life, but that glimpse was a trailer he gave me. We were going to watch a movie last night, and you can't get it done with Elias, me and my wife, trying to pick a movie that we like. That's why the Lord says where two or three are gathered, not where 10,000 are gathered, where two or three agree. It wasn't happening last night because my wife has a taste of what she likes. My 12-year-old son has a taste of what he likes. Then I got a taste of what I like. And we couldn't agree. Ask me what happened. I watched a movie by myself. It didn't come together last night. Nobody was budging. So I used the juice card of being the head of the household. And I trumped my wife and my little boy. We literally spent 40, 45 minutes looking at 1,000 movies. So I watched, what was it? The Soloist, Jamie Foxx. It was a good movie. And I got ministered to. The Soloist was a good movie. Jamie Foxx, and what was the name of the other guy? Huh? Yeah. They both did a great job, but he really wanted to help Michael J. Fox at that time. They were showing at Skid Row there in Los Angeles. We've been there a lot of times. Jamie Foxx. What was I calling him? Michael J. Fox. Jamie Foxx. It's a fox. Long story short, Mr. Fox, we'll say, was cuckoo, amen? But he had been in, you know, he was in the school of Juilliard and all that, but something happened in his life where he nutted up. Just like something happened in all of our lives and we all nutted up. And even though he had this gift, amen, in music, because he nutted up, he couldn't use it, but only on the street corner and stuff. And then that, what was the other guy? Robert found them, and Robert needed a story. So he did everything to get Mr. Fox, if I say it right, amen? He did everything to get him, but he was really wanting to make a good story. He wasn't really worried about Mr. Jamie Fox, but he wanted a story. And he would help him, and he would see the gift, and he would help him, and he would take him in, and just what he was going to do, he would mess up again. He would mess up again. Because his mentality would keep him from being able to use the gift within his life. So that guy, Robert, at the real end, his wife jams him and says, "You're not really wanting to help him. You want a story." And at the real end, he came to find out, Robert came to find out that Jamie needed a friend. That his life wasn't going to change. He would have good moments and bad moments, good moments and bad. Have you ever helped somebody and you really want them to change? Or sometimes there's an alternative motive within your life why you want them to change, and they do good and then they mess up again. They do good and they mess up again. They do good and mess up again. Well, at the end of this story, he was going to stay messed up. And that's what Robert came to find out, that this cat is going to remain messed up. All I can offer him is to be his friend. He got the revelation at the end of the movie. See, but that's not the way it ends with you and I. Because we ain't got Robert helping us. We got Jesus helping us. And Jesus don't say, "I'm going to just, you know, she's kind of crazy, you know. I'm just going to love her. She's kind of," or he gets crazy sometimes, real crazy. Jesus don't say, "Oh, he's just going to stay like that. You just don't ever know when the volcano's going to blast. Because when it blasts and everybody finds out." Jesus don't say that. Jesus says that you don't have to remain there no more. Jesus says, "I can do all things in and through your life." Jesus says, "You don't have to remain that person you've been. You don't have to remain that roller coaster. You don't have to remain that volcano that's ready to erupt at any given time." Each and every one of us are messed up if we keep it real here this day, including your pastor. I'm just not as messed up as I was when I first got saved 25 years ago. And even though I'm still messed up here and there, God uses my life. He uses my life. And I know He does. And that's what keeps me humble, grateful. Because the little bit I gave Him was, all I gave Him was the little bit. Like the woman with the two mites. I mean, she had two pennies, she dropped it, and she's recorded in the word of the Lord. I had just a little messed up life to give Jesus, to be able to open the treasure, the gifts that He had placed within my life, wide open. To know the value of having Jesus in my life. To know the value now that my life has, having Jesus in my life. Because the treasure has been opened. And all of us got gifts within us, according to the word of the Lord. And I believe the treasure top is being popped open right now. And God's taking you past your scenario, your situation, and He's getting you to look at the crack in the treasure. He's getting you right now to start focusing on what He's wanting to do, even though you may not have it, His plan together yet. He's giving you a trailer to look at right now. And He prays that you don't do what my family did last night and going to 45 churches, 45 movies. And that you don't change the channel. And then each movie that we're looking, some were $20, and you really, some were $10, some all the way down to $3. Amen? And if you stay on and say you want to watch the movie of the treasure being opened in your life, it's free. Salvation is free. Jesus paid the price already for you to have a free salvation. But if you want that treasure to be open and its value to hit what it's worth, you're going to have to do your part. Man, I went off the notes, but praise the Lord, we're back on the notes. So I put here, so I surrendered my messed up life to Jesus with nothing to lose, but all to gain. I didn't put all the chips in. I didn't have no chips. I had nothing to lose but all to gain. If I wanted the hidden treasure Jesus within my life to be opened up, and not stay closed, a treasure of religion, but to be opened up that Jesus is alive. And that Jesus brought you here this morning to be opened up with His plan for your life. I would need to become committed. I lost 75% of you right now. I would need to become committed for that treasure chest to be opened. I would need to get committed. I put here, my excitement within my new salvation was so great when I got saved that I had to give Jesus a try. I had to. I was in the back row, all buffed up, all the years in prison. I said I wasn't going to say it no more, but with my sugar mama next to me, a pack of smokes, Camo filterless. And then the other half were buglers, the roly guys that we smoke in prison. All posted up in the back row of the church, fresh out of prison. Fresh out of prison. And something happened when the message started, where an excitement started getting stirred in me. And I would play it off with the prison look. I would praise it all hard. No, not me. I ain't that weak. That's for the next, that guy up there, that's not me. I'm strong. And all I was clean and sober at that time. My excitement within my new salvation was so great that I had to give Jesus a try. And I put here, every service, my excitement grew. Every service I came to Victor Alvarez in Salinas, Victor Alvarez, California, every time I went to church, that it was almost like I almost heard like, like the treasure was slowly but surely opening up in my messed up life. Something was squeaking. Something was happening. Something was opening up. And it was Jesus' worth that he wanted to share with my life. His grace and mercy. And I believe he had an alternative motive that was pure and cleaning me up to use me. To use my life. And here's a few points I got off the book, amen, that I made my own. I put too many times we look at the word commitment as too much sacrifice. Too many times we look at the word commitment and we chalk up all the sacrifice that's going to come with it. I need you to listen. Here's the main point. It's not so much about what you lose. It's about what you gain. Too many of you guys are focused on the sacrifice than the results you're going to get. And the Lord is wanting you to focus on the results of your sacrifice and not to stay focused just in the sacrifice. You see, the Lord, our Father, Heavenly Father, went beyond the sacrifice of his Son and the purpose that his Son would die on the cross. He went beyond the sacrifice of his Son for you and I here this day. Too many people stop when a sacrifice is needed from their life, because they stay stuck on the sacrifice rather than what the sacrifice is going to bring their life. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Next point. A lot of times God's wanting to give you his very best, but our lack of commitment won't let him. Reason with me right now, would God, our Heavenly Father, not want to hook us up? And the answer is yes, across the board, even if you've been naughty. He wants to hook you up. But a lot of times, God's wanting to give his very best, but our lack of commitment won't let him. I don't want to get committed to the church. Not right now, Pastor. I don't want to get committed. Because you're looking at the commitment and not what the commitment's going to bring forth. Next point. How can you and I not believe that God's plan for your life and my life are far better than anything you and I could ever come up with on our own? Do you really think your plan, the way you want to sacrifice, is better than the plan of the Lord? Are you that good? Those viewing online, are you that good? Zoom it in, mommy. Give it right here, right here, right here. I mean, zoom in. You got it? I mean, zoom it in just right here. Are you that good? I think not. Okay, go back. Lay off them now. Gotta be cool. Gotta be cool, man. Gotta lay off. I'll say it again. How can you and I not believe that God's plan for your life and my life are far better than anything you and I could come up with on our own? And we know this is the truth, that our plan can be better than God's plan. But why is it 90%, 80% stick to their plans? When God is wanting to bless you right now with blessings that don't not only come financially, but through a family member being saved and stuff that money can't do or buy. In closing, Romans chapter 8. If I could have the worship team kindly please make their way up. Romans 8:32. The Bible reads, since he did not spare even his own son, it's the ultimate sacrifice, atonement, a one-time deal, that was power. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he, question at the end here, won't he also give us everything else? He sacrificed his only begotten son, Jesus. God gave his best. Anything God gives besides Jesus is less than his son. What he wants to bless you and I with is something that's less than the proof and him giving his son Jesus for you and I to be here this day. That alone is a miracle in itself, that we would find ourselves at church this day. If you go BC, if you go back a minute, us being in a church house this day at times still blows me away. More or less preaching the gospel and talking about sacrifice, but this time in commitment for the Lord and not the enemy. It's a heavy point right there. Why would Jesus not want to give you anything when he is proven? And it's not that he don't want to, it's just that at times we don't allow him to. We rob ourselves of the blessings that God has for us, the best of what God has for us. We rob our own selves. We're living in a time where it's going to get rougher. In finances, jobs, it's going to get rougher. Where at the real end, the nitty gritty, we're not going to be able to count on a job. There's a shift that's going to take place. When we're going to only be able to trust and count on the Lord to come through. As we stand here this day, stop looking at the sacrifice. I missed like a page of my notes, amen? Because I took time and I still want to bring the plane in on time. When I got saved, I had to give up smoking, girls, marijuana. Oh, man. Tell the Lord, I'll lay off the heroin and the coke. But man, the women and the marijuana and the cigarette. A little dope dealing. Without using. I had a plan. And when they would ask for a sacrifice and commitment, I would think, nah. I'll never be happy again if I give up all that. So I'll be born. I'll be sad man. I don't want to be a sad man Christian. Ain't doing it. I get it. That's where I was at. In the beginning, walk with the Lord. I ain't giving that up. Man, I already gave up all that. I'm sticking with the cigarettes, man. It's legal. What are you holding on to right now? That you know don't fit. But you're holding on to it as if it's going to come through for you. What are you holding on to? Because the Lord's looking for a surrendered man, a surrendered woman, a young adult that's willing to get committed, had a good time to get committed. And not to look at the commitment or the sacrifice, but to be able to look at the blessings of how God is not only going to bless you, but how God's going to allow you to become a blessing. Not just blessed, but to become a blessing to others as I am to you right now. Time is ticking. Picture of the man and the time glass. So that time glass in the older person didn't mean that he had little time left. To me, it represents he had little Jesus to offer. How much truly of the Lord do you have to offer? Question, I want you to think of that. Now I want you to answer the question, how much are you using that you know of the Lord to make a difference in somebody else's life? And with that, I'm going to open up the altars, whatever the song is, love. It's time to get committed. It's time to be all in.
Give you my soul.
The Lord's needing proof. And being able to save the lost and the bound. We are the proof of what the Lord is able to do. We are His proof. We are His proof. Tell yourself, I want to be the proof of Jesus. I want to be the proof that Jesus lives. I want to be the proof to others why my life is no longer the same. Why my life is today blessed. Why I'm able to bless others. Because Jesus lives. I told you that song was the message. Give him your everything, even though your everything might be all messed up. He'll take it. Hallelujah.
Just to be in your presence.
The Lord wants everything.
Because
He wants to use every part of you. Everything. Everything.
Give you my heart.
If we could get committed and sacrifice to the things of the world, I'm assured that we can get committed and sacrifice unto the Lord to be blessed and used of Him. No longer cursed, but a blessing.
I give you my all and all. I surrender my faith in thee. Just to be in your presence.
Hallelujah.
I give my everything. Ooh,
it's better to give than to receive. There's a greater high when you're able to hook up somebody instead of somebody hooking you up. Be the hookup today. Be the hookup. Be the instrument God wants to use. Be part of the truth. Lord, I'm convinced if you did it for me, you can do it for anybody. Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, I give you my
yes. Time to get high on the Most High. Commitment is a good word. Sacrifice is a good word. Because of what it's able to produce in one's life.
the outcome of commitment, the outcome of sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It was until Jesus was on the cross of commitment that he was able to see the joy set before him, you and I. He couldn't see it in the garden. It was until he committed to the plan of the Father that he was able to see what the Father wanted him to see. Commitment and sacrifice will allow you to see the plan of the Father for your life and for others. The plan of commitment and sacrifice will open your eyes to the plans of the Father. Put the treasure, picture, treasure. Some of you need to come back right now to the place of commitment, to the place of sacrifice. Because that's when it was really good. That's when it was really good.
Just to be in your presence.
Don't let your focus be on the sacrifice. Let your focus be on the outcome.
Those viewing online right now, those that are here, I'm going to do the invitation of salvation right now. The treasure to be cracked open. Even those viewing online right now, just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for all of my sins. I believe that you purchased me with your precious blood. I also believe that you rose again on the third day. And Jesus, right now, I ask that you enter my heart as Lord and Savior of my life, that your grace and mercy bring forth an excitement within my life to do my part in getting the treasure open. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. The Lord is going to pack the church out. There's a lot of treasures that are hidden in the field called Milwaukee. This church has no reason not to be packed out with people like you and I that Jesus paid the price in full for. I love you guys. If anybody needs a counseling session, my wife and I, we're here for you. God bless you. Go in the presence of the Lord. And there's streets at 1 o'clock leaving from the church. God bless.